Turn with me to the book of Daniel. The sixth chapter. We see at the end of the fifth chapter that Darius the Mede, a conqueror of the Babylonians, the beginning of the sixth chapter, Daniel continues in the new Medo-Persian kingdom. I'm going to read the first 10 verses to give a context. Certainly we know that Daniel in the lion's den follows. But we're going to look at the 10th verse, but I'm going to read 1 through 10 right now. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. And it goes on, of course, and they accuse him before the king, and he's thrown into the den of lions, and we know that's the question that came to me. Was why did Daniel pray in the face of mortal threat? And certainly, why did he pray openly? And I think it's instructive to ask and attempt to answer the question. I have three answers or attempts to answer that. The first is objective, the second is subjective, and then we'll go on from there. So first of all, objectively, we've already had here in Daniel the account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were commanded by Nebuchadnezzar to bow down in front of a statue that Nebuchadnezzar had put up. And they refused. And it was very clear why they refused. They saw it, and it clearly was, they saw it as idolatry. And I think that there is a parallel here in the sixth chapter of Daniel. There's no reason given other than his his habit, if you will. But for the believer, not to pray is idolatry. And I think we need to get that into our psyches. Here's the parallel that we need to see, and it's already being built up in the Old Testament. Hebrews 13:15 is the key verse here, but it's a quote from the Old Testament. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So that is what is due to us, certainly as creatures to the Creator, and secondly, as those who actually know this Creator. We owe him praise and thanksgiving. So the believer then gives God worship with the fruit of his lips. And that is the right thing that is due to him. We do not offer physical sacrifices any longer. But it is right for us, and it's idolatry for us to refrain to give God those sacrifices which are the fruit of our lips. And Daniel understood that. He could not withhold that which is due to God's name. So that's first. Secondly, subjectively, you notice that it's not merely that Daniel prays, that he prays daily, or he gives God thanks on a some regular basis with his lips. But he prays three times a day, and it is, we find ourselves in the same position as Daniel. It is this: our position before God requires an ongoing, direct communication between ourselves and God. We have need to have an open line, if you will, of communication to God. Daniel's was in that Old Testament time. He was looking toward the temple, at least the temple city. The temple itself had been destroyed, but at least he's looking toward Jerusalem, that place where God has set his name. For us, we have a great need of open communication. Our heart needs to be communicating with God, because he is not only the first and best of creatures. He he is the one who is making everything happen in our lives. So if we are acting as if the events of our lives are primary, we're acting the wrong way. We need to be taking our lives from him, and thus we would be looking to him in the events of our lives. So if I see that he's God to me, that he's Savior, I keep him before me at all times. So it's not just that, well, Daniel was very devout, thus he prays frequently this three times a day. No, it is the natural outworking of the believer's heart. Here's Psalm 16. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That is the reality of the renewed heart. Psalm 139:18, speaking of God's thoughts, it says, if I should count them, they are more, would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. So the believer's heart is moving in an orbit that has God closest. So objectively, we owe that to God first. Subjectively, our heart requires ongoing direct communication. And then thirdly, prayer is not merely natural for the believer. Prayer, may I add another layer of that? A prayer is, in fact, work. Right? It's not just that, well, my heart goes out to God. Well, sometimes it does. Frankly, sometimes it doesn't, right? We find that. In difficult circumstances, sometimes we are able to withdraw momentarily and pray, and sometimes we are so engaged that we don't. And so it is one more layer. In a time of great stress and mortal danger, Daniel prays. Great stress and at the potential cost of his life, Daniel prays. So we can say that prayer must be engaged in, sought, performed. This well-known statement of the Apostle Paul's in 1 Corinthians 15 certainly includes prayer. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Prayer is effectively work, and it is the work of the Lord. It is part of that which we need to be engaged in. We certainly see it as worship, and we see it as necessary worship. We should see it as reasonable service, part of our priesthood as believers. We have a great privilege. The Old Testament priests had a great privilege as priests. But what if they just kind of said, well, I don't feel like coming in and performing the morning sacrifice today, or the evening sacrifice today, or the incense before the altar today. I mean, that would be gross dereliction of duty. So prayer is part of our priesthood as believers, and sometimes it is convenient, and sometimes it is inconvenient, as it was for Daniel, but all the more necessary when inconvenient. And so it is objectively that which we owe God. It is subjectively that which we need to keep an open line. And it is necessary work for us. Let's close this time in prayer.